Before we start today's podcast, I'm going to tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go in, get a lunch special, $4.99, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink there at the Blue Sky in Oxford. I think today is red beans and rice. The weather, it's pretty good for that, so take advantage of that as well as the good gas prices and more at the Blue Sky. And remember to fill up that stadium cup for only 49 cents. If you buy it at the Pavilion, if you buy it in Swayze Field starting on Friday, 49 cents to fill it up every time you pass a Blue Sky in Mississippi. And also coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900, Highway 25 South there in Amory. You know you can call Corey Clark and get a quote within 15 minutes. And at the end of a deal, you also get $500 off for mention of the podcast. Those great deals we constantly tell you about there with Clark Ford. Now onto the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in. But why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Pretty Ole Miss, pretty Ross Bjork-centric show today as he is our guest on the podcast. Yesterday, the first town hall meeting happened in Cleveland, Mississippi at the Grammy Museum there in Cleveland, which is actually excellent, by the way. I embedded with Ole Miss for that yesterday, traveled with the party. It was Ross, Michael Thompson, Kyle Campbell to cover it. No restrictions. They told me to cover whatever I saw, that column up at rebelgrove.com, and kind of get a little bit of a window into the preparation, the reaction, and the first town hall meeting. The next meeting is tonight in Corinth, and then they are in several other stops around Mississippi and Memphis as this thing moves forward. Tupelo, the coast, Jackson, obviously South Haven, Memphis area. I think it's at the Hilton, Memphis, for the one in Memphis. But Corinth is up tonight, I'm assuming 5:30. You can check local listings for that for the time. It was also a pretty heavy news day yesterday as well. Jason Jones relieved of his duties as a defensive backs coach. This has been coming for a while, not a shock to anyone involved. And then, by the way, they're going to hire an outside linebacker, a defensive end type coach from that 3-4 defense as they move forward. They've had a ton of defensive backs coach. Frankly, somebody had to go. It just was what it was. So you got that going on, and then as Ross, I guess Ross broke it, I don't know, however you want to phrase it, last night at the town hall meeting, there's some vacated wins that have a lot of people up in arms today, so we'll discuss some of that as well, and then I'll go ahead and give you a heads up. We recorded the Bjork podcast in the vehicle on the way back last night. It was dark. I was reading from a notepad. I was tired, and I dumbly did not ask about vacated wins, but I'd been talking to Ross about vacated wins for 20 minutes before we started recording.
It was past your bedtime.
It was very – well, it wasn't yet, but it was inching that way. I was up early yesterday morning because, you know, I was stressed about the Swayze Field story trying to get it ready that morning. And then it was a long day for Mr. Parham yesterday. I had my feel yesterday. Ole Miss Baseball Media Day today as well. So pretty happening 36 hours or so there. So we'll dive through all that kind of because I know
you really need Media Day today, right, just to get some stuff.
You know, I haven't talked to Mike but 14 times in the last 16 days. Right. So I have a lot of questions, have a lot of things that are on my mind.
Is there literally anything he could say today outside of something crazy that would be newsworthy to you?
Newsworthy? No, I mean, going into this from a newsworthy standpoint, it's A, okay, yeah, what's your rotation? I don't even care what your lineup is because you're going to change that 7,000 times.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's your rotation? I am curious about that. So we're talking about really one spot because I think Will Etheridge has a spot. I think Gunnar Hoglund, unless Mike really reacted to this past weekend, has a spot. And then it's Houston Roth or Zach Phillips, in my opinion. One's Tuesday, one's Saturday, Sunday, whatever. So that's news. And then, hey, how's Gray Kessinger's ankle? We could be out of this thing in 90 seconds, but it'll take a little longer than that. Mike is going to announce today that they have sold out of season tickets for the baseball season. There are no season tickets remaining, so 7,000 and change, I think, almost 7,100, something like that. I know we're going to go on town hall stuff. We're going to stay on that for a little while. So let's start, actually, with Jason Jones. Relieved of duties yesterday. Again, they're going to bring in someone else. This happening after signing day is interesting but expected, but it seems like this might have been, Neil, one of the worst-kept secrets in Oxford the last few weeks.
Yeah, you knew it had to happen. First, I'll say this about Jason. tremendously nice person. One of the nicest guys that I've encountered, frankly, on the beat in my what's now 11 years, which is a shocking number, but really good guy. I don't know that he's a dynamic recruiter. I don't know that he is an elite recruiter. I don't know why that is or why that isn't. I'll leave that for someone else. Charles Clark is also a DB coach. He's more familiar with Mike McIntyre. He's probably a better recruiter. He's Matt's guy. Jason Jones was Hugh's guy. Yeah, I mean, this didn't require detective skills to see it coming. You knew it was coming. We said in November that we thought there would be a really different look to this coaching staff by the time spring rolled around. I don't remember exactly how we said it. I'm sure we didn't say it like that, and that will be pointed out to me on the message board multiple times between now and the end of the day. But it is when they start spring practice, and it's February the 26th, by the way. I missed it by one day, Chase.
Dang it.
I missed by
that. That's really not recoverable.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be able to regain any credibility on that. I missed it by day. They start on Tuesday, February the 26th. And when they do, they'll have two new coordinators, and they'll have how many position coaches different? I know one, two.
McGee.
Yeah, McGee, whoever this person is.
Yeah.
Are we missing somebody?
Still Dude, have this Big is all Nell. Running together. I'm
still have Nick. Big Nell, which is kind of a win in and of itself.
Yeah.
Nick's is still there.
Still got Summerall, which
Peeler's
is a win.
Still there. Summerall's still there, which is a win.
Clark's still there.
Roach is still there.
Yeah. Just,
Clark is
yeah.
still there. So, yeah, it's four new coaches, including two new coordinators.
Yeah.
I think we thought maybe as many as five. So, four. So, it's a different look. Two new systems and all that stuff. And I think Jason will get a job. He's a good coach. The kids that play for him like him. He's a really nice guy. I wish him well.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton to say. It was just like I said, we get on the other topic and I end up forgetting, so it was better to go ahead and knock it out from the beginning. I've learned that we have a tendency to get a little long-winded since we have to talk about an hour and 10 minutes every single day, so that happens.
Oh, we're going to break down the NBA in just a little while. Break it down. Mark Gasol makes his debut in Toronto.
Clippers play the Wizards or something last night.
Actually, it's a really good game in Oklahoma City, Blazers and Thunder. 3-4 in the West, two teams that are really good. But anyway, move on.
Really?
Yeah. Russell Westbrook set a record last night. First player in NBA history to get 10 consecutive triple-doubles. It's pretty good.
So anyway, all right, so I'm trying to think where to even go with this. I might even let you lead me a little bit because my thoughts are sort of scattered. I wrote this morning.
So you got in the car with Ross Bjork and Michael Thompson and Kyle Campbell.
I did.
About 2 o'clock-ish.
About 2:30.
2:30.
Was pull-out time, yeah.
And you headed to Cleveland, Mississippi.
Cleveland, Mississippi. The Grammy Museum,
yep.
Like I said, which is awesome. Yep. I'm not a music guy, and When we got there, we asked. It was like 90 minutes prior to the event. The event was from 5:30 to 7. It was like, hey, can we walk around or what? And they're like, yeah, hold on, let us turn it on. So they went in and turned all the stuff on for us and whatever because it was already closed for the day. And really, really cool. If you hadn't been, they have traveling exhibits and different things. They've got a Michael Jackson one going right now there. And then they've got a little Mississippi area with all of the Mississippi musicians that have Grammy history. And it's pretty neat. I'll give them a lot of credit for that. You can play all their music. You've got a map where they're all from with all the different things. It's pretty cool. So it's worth the
Kelly Clarkson stuff.
You know, Britney Spears stuff.
Yeah.
Tammy Wynette.
Yeah.
Elvis, obviously.
Is Tammy Wynette from Mississippi?
Tremont, Mississippi.
Is that right? How about that?
Dangest thing.
I did not know that.
Well, we all sort of had a little bit of a blonde moment because I looked up there, and, you know, when you look at a map, you typically look close to your hometown. It was like, oh, there's tons of stuff right around there. I was like, oh, Elvis, you dumbass. Like, there's Tupelo right there. So that was,
yeah.
There was a lot of conglomeration right around the Tupelo area from a Grammy standpoint. But, yeah, a lot of stuff there. Everything from Elvis to Three Doors Down. You get your full mix of it. So
Three Doors Down is from Mississippi?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That is correct.
How about that?
You're learning new stuff every day.
I am.
I wrote about this, and again, it was one of those deals where I was glad to do it. I thought it gave me a little better perspective on things as a reporter, as somebody who talks about Ole Miss so much. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. There was no negative to it by any means, but just the overall, I guess, hostility still fair between a lot of people doing with Ole Miss. I kind of phrase it as scar tissue in my column. And that's something that I don't know what causes it to go away other than tons of wins. At the end of the day, wins and
time.
Yeah, time and wins. That's the deal. But I tried to take into it from this scope. And my scope going in was, look, no one did everything right throughout this process. Ross didn't. Michael didn't. Kyle didn't. Tons of different people didn't.
Hugh Freeze didn't.
I didn't. I mean, you know, everybody. Everybody's involved here. Nobody did everything perfect.
Hugh Freeze didn't.
Well, he got a little comeuppance yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So,
'cause he made some mistakes.
Some mistakes, yeah.
Yeah, plural.
Yeah. So, that kind of is what it is at this point. And there's going to be a lot of things about the structure of this NCAA thing, just my opinion, that Ross has an opinion on how things were handled. Fans have opinion on how things were handled or should have been handled. And that is going to be a permanent impasse that's never going to fully fuse together. Ever.
Agreed.
So at the end of the day, I think these things were about finding some semblance of answers and then moving on. Because, you know, we were critical of these town hall meetings when they were first announced. And I was pretty skeptical of them, I'll be honest. Even when I got in the car yesterday, I kind of thought, I don't know what I'm walking into here. I don't know what to expect.
Because I said to you yesterday, I said, what happens if nobody shows up?
Yeah, I know. And I had that thought. I mean, because I asked Ross, I said, did you intentionally kind of start with one that could be a smaller crowd? Because Cleveland's going to be a smaller crowd than a lot of others. Because no, just kind of how it worked out. I mean, because in some ways, they're probably nervous about it, too, is you have the first one and nobody shows up. Well, it looks – it's a little squirrely for everybody involved a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we got out of the car, and I think he kind of looked at me, and he went, well, we're the first ones here. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's 90 minutes. We got a little time
here.
Yeah,
if you had a lynch mob 90 minutes out, you'd know boys might ought to get back in the car.
So point being – I thought it was an interesting splice point for Ole Miss. As you have these town hall meetings, and I get a very small percentage of the fan base is actually going to be at these things, but still, some of the audio will leak at some point. There'll be plenty of answers come out. I mean, they're not going to stay secret. And then you get the Rebel road trip later, and it does seem like this splice. It's okay, we've done all this, and now look, we're going to go throw a pep rally now. We're going to have 11. We've got a basketball coach that's relatively winning. We got a baseball program that's ranked 10th in the country. We got two new coordinators all you guys are excited about. February went pretty well from a recruiting class. Let's kind of pick ourselves up a little bit and move on.
At some point, you do have to move on.
Yeah, and I think that's what this was because, again, I wrote this, read it. But I thought, and we'll get into some specifics in a minute, but I thought it was very, very interesting that about the first half of the show was almost all NCAA questions, Mississippi State questions.
Was it angry? What was the tone? I mean, give me.
It was annoyed. Yeah. I mean, like nobody was disrespectful. Everything was above board, but there was certainly some frustration. It was
nobody threw a shoe or anything.
No shoes or anything. It was just kind of edgy. Like it was, hey, you know,
What was the demographic?
Old. Okay. Old. Yeah. Okay. There were not many young people there, and that was to be expected for that area of the thing. I don't think that was a surprise.
Sure. I was just curious.
Yeah. But, I mean, probably some donors in that mix, though. I mean, probably some people with some clout.
Yeah.
Frustration. A lot of, you know, why did you allow Mississippi State to do this? Why did you allow the NCAA to do this? Why did you allow this, allow that? And I thought just the nature of the event was a positive for Ole Miss because everything for Ole Miss has kind of been, hey, we're going to be behind closed doors. We're going to do this behind closed doors. We're going to do this in private. We're going to talk around this a little bit. And we're talking about a 130-seat theater, the little soundstage room at the museum. And Ross is 5 feet in front of the first row. There's no moderation. There are two microphones, one at each side, and then a microphone they were passing through the aisles. You just ask questions. I mean, there was nothing from anybody asking anything, and Ross is standing right there. So I thought the intimacy and the honesty of just the environment was a positive for Ole Miss yesterday because he, to the best of his ability, like I said, he said off from the beginning, I'm going to try to answer you honestly, even though we probably are not going to agree a lot of the answers. You're going to have to kind of take some of my answers and go, hey, we just are where we are, but let's do this way. And that was effective, I thought, for most in the crowd. I mean, we've had a couple people on the message board say they were there and that they agree that, you know, I noticed the tone shift. The first 30 minutes were very angry, and then kind of they got it out of their system. After about 30 minutes, it became, well, let's talk about Kermit. Let's talk about Mike. Let's talk about traffic. Let's talk about the Tadsmith Coliseum, what we're going to do with that. Yeah, just let's talk. You're here. Let's have our Rebel Road Trip kind of moment here a little bit. And when they left, I went up and stood by Ross and just kind of listened to some of the people walking by. And everyone, even if they didn't agree with everything said, and I wrote this too, they thanked him for the intent. You came to us. You gave it a shot. We appreciate the directness of the situation because I think in so many different ways, Ole Miss has been craving that directness. It's just, hey, be one of us and let's just all get in this thing together a little bit. And they needed Ross to reach out to them. You know, Ole Miss fans felt very neglected from the administration for a long time. They needed kind of Ross to be the one to reach that hand and act like there's some sort of connection happening. And
well, they've wanted Ross to say some things about the NCAA, and he has. I mean, I'm not here to defend or attack. I'm just, he called it broken. It is broken. The system's broken. But Ross Bjork's one athletics director. He can't fix a broken system by himself. Now, I keep waiting for some people that are like him to sort of band up together and go, we've got to change this. I keep waiting for Power 5 to break away, frankly, because that's what makes the most sense to me. And I'm sure Ross would listen to that and say, no, it wouldn't, and here's why. And I would enjoy listening to that take. But I had this conversation with somebody last night. I was in here trying to transcribe interviews and stuff, and my phone was blowing up. And so it was about the vacated wins. We'll get to that in a minute. But my point in it was, it was very frustrated at the administration. And I said, look, I get it, but you do have to understand, or you have to try to understand, that to completely comprehend the picture of what happened from the, hey, don't disrespect these young men tweet to last night, you've got to understand that at virtually every turn, and I've said this, and you know who I put the lion's share of the blame on. At virtually every turn, at every potential pivot point, Hugh Freeze made a screw up. And it just always kept going. And all of that's not completely under Bjork's control because Bjork didn't have the ability. I mean, I guess he did have the ability, but he wouldn't have survived it. He didn't have the ability at any point to go, hey, you know what? This is not working. You got to go. Because Hugh Freeze was winning, although those wins don't count anymore. He was winning. Couldn't fire Hugh Freeze on draft night. And good for Bjork to admit last night that exactly what they should have done on January of 16 was, hey, Neil, Chuck, Chase, everybody, Parrish, everybody in the media, it's right here in our building. We don't have the ability to run the copies right now, but it's here. You want to come over here and read it? Read it. Report on it.
Yeah, that was Ross's thing. Ross was asked, hey, what would you do differently? And his answer was, in January of 16, he would have taken the NOA and laid it out for the world to see.
Yeah,
because
there wasn't
it ends
much
all speculation,
it.
And it goes, hey, have at it. Y'all
wasn't much
do
in
what
it.
You're doing.
Wasn't much in it. Because here's the truth about that night. That's why I'm kind of pleased to hear him say it. The reputation was, man, they're cheating like mad. They are throwing buckets of cash at kids. Wasn't true. They were sloppy, and they should have never let the Barney Farrar thing go as long as they did. But that was about it. And it probably would have, well, I don't know. The NCAA was so damn determined to get Hugh Freeze and to get Ole Miss that no telling what happens. But it would have changed the tenor of draft night, I think.
You know, the couple biggest revisionist history, not revisionist history, but just splice points, because Ole Miss gave this thing out yesterday, and I'll actually take pictures of it and put it on the site later on today. I was going to bring it, and I forgot it, I think. Ross called them placemats, but it's this double-sided big piece of paper or whatever, and on the front it's got like milestones during his tenure kind of, and a bunch of financial information, which we'll get to in a minute, about the money they've gained and lost and different things throughout this process and just kind of stuff. The back's got this NCAA timeline on it with every notable event throughout the NCAA, and I mean the world changes whatever year. This is all running together at this point, I guess 15. You know, in November of 14, really early in the process, still relative to when this thing finished, and it's where Ross always goes back to, and he does have a point. Now, does he have a complete point because of everything else that's happened? Probably not, but he does have a point here. In the fall of 14, they go to Indianapolis and get the NCAA to remove a bunch of potential allegations and really get a big win in late 14. In spring of 15, this is when Ross has that famous quote in the Clarion Ledger. They were told, hey, this thing's coming to a close, it's about over, whatever. And then, as I wrote in the thing, middle of 15 gets here in the summer when Lindsey Miller and Laramie Tunzel become into the public and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And it's the difficult thing that even I sometimes have a hard time figuring out where I fall on the subject, because it's not black and white. Because it's, hey, well, at that point, you guys should have reversed course and done this and done this. It's like, well, it was done. Like, it's a very difficult thing to kind of maneuver at that point, especially when, to that point, because let's look, and again, I really hate doing all this NCAA rehash. I'm really kind of done with it, but we end up back here again.
Kind of a topic yesterday.
Let's put everybody in the minds of at that point.
Okay.
Being in 14, in middle of 15, right before the Lindsey Miller thing, or at the Lindsey Miller
thing. The day that Hugh Freeze calls Lindsey Miller a wife beater.
That.
Okay.
So here's the funny thing about that is that I think, and now we can say this is crazy. I get it. I think Ross kind of trusted the NCAA to this point, because they have the women's basketball and the track thing, and in that documented allegations, you can read it, the COI, the same COI that eventually handles football and acts like idiots, hammers the NCAA enforcement committee, goes after them, calls them a bunch of idiots, completely sides with Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Then they go into late 14, they get a bunch of allegations removed. They really dumb that document down for 16 into it not being much.
Wasn't much there.
So when 15, the summer happens, I think Ross
to backtrack a second, really on that document, when we got to it, the most damning stuff in there was the ACT stuff.
Yeah, it actually
was. Which was the previous staff. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so we get to that point, and I think that's what's so funny is the mindset change from that point to, A, the NCAA hiding information from Ole Miss, doing immunity interviews at multiple schools. I mean, Ross made the point last night that, you know, for a long time, yeah, we all had, I mean, if you made this guess, it was State and Robertson and the whole deal. But in a lot of ways, they were kind of fighting ghost for a long time. They didn't know exactly where the leaks were coming from, who was doing them. You got publicly, and you don't even really know who to yell at the moment.
I feel fairly confident saying this, that the NCAA went to Alabama hoping to talk to some of those kids on immunity.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Saban
informed them that
that would not be occurring.
They would not be welcome on his campus to talk about another school. Get out.
I mean, Ross, you're going to hear this in a minute. And it was not the funniest, but just the most, yeah, sure, I believe it, compared to everything else, moment of last night. Ross says that he would go into the NCAA multiple times and fight about the leaks, and the leaks would stop for a little while, and then when it died down, they'd start back. And the NCAA would never admit the leaks, but that every time he went and complained about it, they would completely stop and everything would shut off for a period of time.
Well, they definitely had leaks.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, it was just sort of this deal. So, I don't know. We got a lot to go. Let's talk to Ross. We'll come back and continue in 1 minute after that. There's no real good segue, so we'll just do it now and then continue the conversation. Again, we're going to do a little business for a second. But when we go to this Ross interview, again, there's probably a little bit of car noise. It is what it is. We were in the vehicle on the way back, and I was tired, so I asked a couple dumb questions. But you'll get over it. You're going to hear from Ross Bjork shortly after the town hall meeting. But first, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga, honoring a processing zone in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate, 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The Ole Miss women's tennis team is back at home on February the 13th as they take on Alcorn State at 1 p.m. Come hungry, as fans will receive free pizza. As always, admission is free. For more information, visit OleMissSports.com. The Ole Miss women's hoops team back in the pavilion on Thursday, February the 14th, for a matchup with the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. For tickets, visit OleMissTix.com. The Ole Miss baseball season has arrived. Join the Rebels at Swayze Field on Friday, February the 15th, as they host Wright State at 4 p.m. Tickets can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. And the Ole Miss men's basketball team returns to the pavilion on Saturday, February the 16th as they take on Missouri at 2:30 p.m. Limited tickets remain and can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast, and you will get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Then send him an email. It's ha@HarryAlexander.com. And we're brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. So you guys know how this works. John's a part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. So what you do is you call John and you give him some parameters. Basically, you say, here's what I want to do, kind of roughly where I want to go. This is what I want to accomplish. This is the purpose of the trip. And here's my budget. And then sit back and let him give you options. He'll give you options that you will not find on your own. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services either. I know a lot of you have done this. Everybody's been incredibly pleased. So you should, if you're thinking about a trip this summer or whatever, at least let John give you some options. It's 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Podcast also brought to you by Scripted Jewelry, scriptedjewelry.com. Go check out the website where you can get items handcrafted to order, putting your special message on to a gift for that special someone. Also, when you check out, you can save some money. Use Rebels10, R-E-B-E-L-S-1-0 for 10% off with Scripted Jewelry. And see somebody from Lafayette, Louisiana just bought something. Lafayette, Louisiana just bought something a second ago. And you can too. Again, put a message, put some fingerprints, a lot of different jewelry. Great items there with ScriptedJewelry.com. Now, Ross Bjork on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Ross, first town hall in Cleveland done tonight. Looked like it was a pretty cathartic experience for most people in attendance, it seemed like. You and I both there. What was sort of your take on it, just overall? I mean, how do you think it went? Because you went into this thing fairly blind. You really didn't know what to expect.
You know, thanks, first of all, for going with us and kind of being embedded into the travel party with us and seeing firsthand just what the feedback was going to be. And look, the goal of the whole thing was to listen to people, you know, give us feedback, but allow them to ask questions. Look, we know there's been frustration. We know we need to hear from our fans. And, you know, walking into the venue, you know, about 4:30 this afternoon and starting at 5:30, we didn't know if two people would show up or, you know, 50 people would show up. And I think it was a great turnout. We had people from Indianola and Greenville and Clarksdale and obviously there in Cleveland. So I think for the first one, I think it was a great starting point to get the message out there and just start the process of communicating with our fans once again.
There was a lot of overall athletic department stuff kind of scattered in, but still a ton of NCAA stuff. People still with lots of questions about the investigation. All those wounds have not completely healed for a lot of the fan base. Did you kind of expect that going in, and do you think this was sort of that final note for getting some closure on that topic?
We did. You know, one of the things we really anticipated, obviously, based on what we've gone through, well-documented the NCAA case. So we put together a timeline, and we handed out we called it a placemat, and on there was a timeline of all the different NCAA events, including things that maybe not were public, you know, right away. And so we put those things on there to spur on conversation, to try to be transparent about the process, and really just maybe demystify a few things, or at least, you know, clarify our position, or people could understand, you know, why did you make this move, or what was the strategy here, and just try to be transparent with people. They may not agree with the answer. We're still frustrated, obviously, about, you know, the final outcome, but I think it just gives people clarity, And the ability, really, frankly, just to move on to a new day and let's turn the page.
Speaking of the NCAA thing a little bit, I do have a question there with just kind of your thoughts, because you got to ask this. You got a lot of things about North Carolina, Missouri, and the way that thing shook out with Missouri. You get the COI head up there during their conference call mentioning that you could interpret it as you should not cooperate, essentially. When you heard that the first time, what kind of went through your head?
Well, I think it just goes back to the whole enforcement model, as I think shown to really be a broken model. It's antiquated. The expectation of membership, you know, in all my career in college athletics is that, look, if you have something bad that happens on your campus, you deal with it, you take responsibility, you work with the NCAA, you self-impose, and then you're allowed to move on. But this over-the-top punishment, you know, the COI the last couple years adding on to self-imposed penalties, that was never the case. And so then you come to Dave Roberts, that comment that was made in the Missouri case, you come to that and you're like, wait a second. As an industry, we expect people to take responsibility and hold people accountable. And if that's not the way it's going to be, then you're going to have more lawyers in the system. You're going to have more contentious, you know, arguments. You're going to have way more public outcry that the model is broken. So I think we need to come together as leaders and fix a lot of things. I don't know what those exact solutions are yet, but it's frustrating to hear those kind of comments, because you're supposed to do the right thing. And if we can't have integrity in our industry, then we're all in trouble.
You were asked tonight what you would do differently with the investigation. Please spin it a little different, though. If you were getting investigated from day one tomorrow at another school and you didn't, you know, start it out, what would you do different in that way, hearing some of these comments, different things, where you know, you weren't already kind of in the middle of how you had to do it?
You know, I think, you know, one, I think we need to understand what is the viewpoint of the NCAA leadership of our program. And, you know, we didn't understand that completely at the beginning, because we thought we had a very manageable case. And so I think if there's a head coach that's a target, if there's a program that's a target, you need to know those things early on, because then you can deal with that maybe in a different way. So I think that could be something moving forward, is, okay, what's really the viewpoint? Okay, yeah, we may have these violations going on, but is there some bigger picture aspect that they're really after? And how do you get to the bottom of that? I think part of that is you have to have ongoing proactive communications with the NCAA. We've already, you know, done that in the aftermath, is we want to know everything about our program that the NCAA has, so you can really control it, you can squash it if you need to, and you can, again, just handle it for your university.
You know, even with the NCAA investigation going on, I don't know that the Ole Miss brand was maybe any better nationally than in 2015, because of the Sugar Bowl, the NCAA tournament for basketballs, 2 out of 3 years or whatever it was at that point. Baseball has been recognized for a while, and all this has kind of dipped that down so much in a lot of different ways. In your opinion, how long does it kind of take to get that back? What are the steps to sort of returning Ole Miss from a national brand standpoint?
You know, I think you have to be consistent. You know, I think you have to be consistently good at what we do, and so that means we need to, you know, win football games. You know, making the NCAA tournament would obviously be a big splash, you know, for our program, especially for a first-year coach. You know, baseball obviously is a marquee sport for us, but also within the Southeastern Conference. So if you can be a leader, you know, in the baseball world, I think it's just consistency. I think it's the brand awareness of having your teams exposed. I think doing it the right way, and I think having sound leadership. You know, Matt Luke's the right guy. Kermit Davis is the right guy. Coach Yolette's doing great things on the women's side. Mike Bianco has a great reputation. So steady, consistent leadership. Winning's going to help. Selling your program, marketing your program. And we're trying to do all those things on a daily basis.
When you and I talked, I guess on the podcast right after the sanctions were known, you talked about the rainy day fund and everything that you had kind of built up in reserves. That's obviously been knocked down a little bit. You talked about that tonight in Cleveland, where it went from $27 million to $5 or $8 million or whatever the number it is. I don't have it in front of me here. You may know it off the top of your head, but I guess the easy thing is, or not the easy thing, but the easy question is, what does it kind of take to build back that up given the environment of everything right now? And I mean, just from an overall standpoint, I mean, how is Ole Miss financially at the moment?
You know, you're exactly right. And one of the things that we wanted to do at these town hall meetings was be transparent about our finances. You know, we've grown our budget. You know, we're at $117 million budget. You know, that's basically doubled in the last 5 years. And through that success in our financial picture, we've been able to build that reserve fund up to about $27 million. With the bowl ban the last 2 years, that's about a $16 million hit. We've had some other revenue losses with ticket sales and sponsorship and other donations. And so, you know, weathering that storm, we'll have to pull that money out of our reserves. And so at the end of this fiscal year, we'll be at about $8 million in reserves. And so we need to build that back up through fundraising, through ticket sales. You know, last year we were about 47,000 season tickets in football. We need to get that back in the 50 range, the 51 range. You know, 2017, 54 was the peak. You know, we need to get that back, you know, up over 50,000. That'll help, you know, continue the financial health. So I would say we've had our challenges, but we have a good plan. We need to sell the program. Obviously, we know winning helps, but also just galvanizing the Ole Miss family and talking about being united. We talked about that tonight with the folks here. So, and then it comes down to fundraising. There's no limit on fundraising. And we have a ton of proposals out there right now that could be, in a lot of ways, very transformational for our program. And if those come through, that helps build that reserve fund back. And then, of course, we'll get half of the SEC money back in 2022-23. And that'll help continue the financial health of the department.
Is anything prohibitive right now, or is it just a matter of building up excess?
You know, what I would say is prohibitive is some of the smaller projects that we had on the table. You know, we need track locker rooms. We need to expand our locker rooms for our track and field programs. You know, we want to do enhancements to softball and to soccer. So from an operating budget standpoint, we have not cut sports budgets. We have not cut back. We wanted to make sure we operate at a high SEC, you know, top flight program. But it's mainly those one-off projects that, hey, you know what, let's spend $2 or $3 million on this project. Or let's take this, you know, we're not really going to be able to fundraise for this project. Let's take this money out of reserves. Those are the things that have been put on hold, is those extra things. And we need to get back to that. We need to do those projects. It's a priority. And we'll have a plan to get those things done.
It's obviously a small sample size, but how did you kind of gauge the mood of the attendees tonight from the beginning and then at the end as far as maybe it improving any?
You know, I think just like we didn't really know what to expect. I think people walking in, they're like, okay, you know, how's this going to work? And I think after about, you know, a 10 to 12 minute intro, you know, we kind of laid out, okay, just give us your name, where you're from. There's no bad question. So I think once we sort of, you know, broke the ice with that, I think people were free to ask questions. So I thought walking out of the room and people coming up to me individually, every one of them, they were positive. Thank you for doing this. I know you didn't have to do this. Thanks for, you know, getting us through all the challenges. Keep it going. We're here to help. One of the questions at the end was, hey, what can we do to help? And, you know, those are the things that we need. We need people to support the program, be positive, and then just get other people involved. So I thought the mood was great and a nice way to kick it off.
I'm kind of tired of it, so I'm really kind of done with the NCAA thing either. But you mentioned this tonight. The leak stopped when you asked about it, doing the thing? That's true?
You know what? Obviously, there was a lot of stuff going on in, I guess, fall of 14,
mm-hmm.
Early 2016. We had been talking to the NCAA about we thought there were leaks somewhere. And as soon as we brought it up, they said they would look into it. And you know what? Things calmed down. You know, really until the fall of 16 when they kind of heated back up. But look, I can never verify whether anything was happening. All I know is when we brought something up, we felt like it was a lot more quieter. So whatever that means, I believe it had some sort of impact.
I get asked this all the time. You got asked it tonight, so I'll let you kind of relay what you said. Tazmuth Coliseum, it looks like it's going to be here for a little while. Everybody was kind of expecting the Dynamite to come maybe a little while ago, but we're stuck with it for a little while,
yeah.
It seems.
You know, one of the things, just because the campus and university have grown, is we actually need that space right mm-hmm. now. So we need it for athletics. We have some offices in there. The university uses it for some, you know, bigger gatherings. Our cheerleading programs are using it. And then, you know what's crazy is I think the TAD pad was about $2 million to build it. It'll cost a lot more than that to tear it down. And then obviously, what do you put in its place? And so the campus has a master plan. I think it'll be a terrific site once everything is torn down and there's some academic buildings, but that's a long time probably from happening.
You got, you know, morale picking up the last month or so. You get McIntyre and Rodriguez. People really get behind the coordinator hires. You had football after the pretty poor December really finish well in February. Kermit's kind of kept interest up overall in basketball from maybe donations, maybe just people you talk to. However you want to measure this, what has maybe the last few weeks been like compared to maybe the month or 2 months before that?
You know, it's been really positive. You know, I would say, and I'll throw in our just transition of leadership on campus. You know, I think there's a lot more just positive vibes around Larry Sparks, and I think people believe in his leadership. And so I think the whole vibe, you know, around Ole Miss, around campus, around town, around the state, people just they just want us to go to work, do our job, let's produce, let's win some games, let's recruit. And I think we have sort of a new window, if you will. People really are impressed with the job Matt Luke did to recruit the coordinators and take his ego out of it, and that takes great leadership to put all that together. And that was all his vision. People are excited about what's happening with Kermit. We're way ahead of schedule. The baseball excitement is right there in front of us with the season opening this weekend. And I think people are just – you know, one, you get tired of sort of the beat down. So I think people are ready to turn the page from all of that. And they just want us to do our jobs and be successful. And I'm hearing just great feedback the last several weeks.
You said tonight the meeting between Sankey and yourself and John Cohen hasn't happened at this point. Has there been any conversation, though? I mean, have you had any sort of mini meeting or anything to this point since that declaration was made?
I had an initial conversation with the commissioner. It would have been early December. About some of the thoughts, and ever since then, there's been no dialogue about it ever since.
Do you expect it to happen?
I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been scheduled. We haven't been contacted about it being scheduled. So, I mean, I believe that it'll happen at some point. I'm just not sure when.
Does he know what's on your proverbial list, though?
He does. I shared that with him in December. Obviously, just initial list, not the full list, but we had a good talk, and I think he understands the dynamics of what's all taken place, and we'll see when that meeting takes place.
We talked to several recruits this year, you know, that in their attention spans, because recruits don't necessarily watch college football constantly. They've just seen Ole Miss lose some football games the last couple of years. You know, 14, 15 are kind of out of the span for a lot of these high school kids. How long do you think before that gets back? I mean, what do you think is the attention span to sort of, hey, get an established winner back in place from a recruit's mindset?
You know, I think it's year to year. Yeah. I really believe so. You know, we kind of answered this question a little bit tonight about, look, some of these prospects, when they signed in December of 2018, they committed in 2017. When our program had a lot of uncertainty, a lot of challenges. And so I really believe that you can flip the script almost on a year-to-year basis. You know, what's kind of been interesting about Rich Rodriguez, you know, he's been a long-term coach, right? But as an offensive coordinator, right, it's been 20 years since he's been a coordinator. And so, you know, you've got to just kind of rebrand yourself, you know, every year. And that's what I think is great about Coach Luke is he's not going to sit still. He's going to constantly pump out information about our program. So I think you can turn minds. Look, we need to be successful next year. We all understand that. But I think there's just tons of excitement in the identity of, you know, the leadership of Coach Luke.
What's the advice for people? Because, I mean, tonight a lot of people asking about, you know, just Mississippi State in general, the rivalry, whether you want to call it toxic or not, and just however kind of that's phrased. What's sort of the advice for people on, you know, trying to not necessarily completely let go of it, because you can't tell people how to think or what to believe, but to kind of worry about what Ole Miss can do as well as sort of moving on from that stage as it kind of moves forward?
Well, look, you can't ignore it. Obviously, it's a big rivalry. It's in our state. It's a small population. Everybody sort of knows everybody, right? And so it's going to be part of the fabric. But at the same time, you know, I know what my job is, and that's to work for Ole Miss. And I think our fans, what they believe in is Ole Miss. And so you can't control them. You can't dictate what happens over there. You can only try to control what we can control. And what I said tonight to the group is, let's not let Ole Miss beat Ole Miss. Let's be the best that we can be. And then, you know what? We don't have to worry about anybody else because we're controlling what we can control. Let's be the best that we can be. If there's something we have to deal with over there, okay, fine. But let's be the best of who we are and maximize, you know, our full potential.
I heard kind of a collective groan when this answer was made, even though I think most people kind of agreed with it. As you mentioned building credibility with the NCAA and sort of getting back on whatever good standing with them. What does that really look like? Because in some ways, aren't you just kind of in good standing when you're not under investigation?
Well, yeah, you hope you never have another investigation, of course. But, you know, I really, you know what, relationships. You know, relationships at the highest level of the NCAA, you've got to have those. You've got to be proactive. It can't just be when something bad happens, you know, you get a phone call or you call them. You've got to have a dialogue, whether that's at the NCAA convention or our athletic director convention, seeing them at other events. You've got to be informed. And I think part of what we went through is we were not being told certain things. And if we were told those certain things, maybe we could have handled things differently. So part of this new approach, we have a general counsel for athletics. He can stay plugged in pretty much on a daily basis with the NCAA. Our compliance folks can do the same thing. I can do it at a very high level. And so, again, people may not want to hear us, you know, working with the NCAA, but I'd rather have a positive relationship so that way we can avoid these things than having an adversarial where they come after us and they're out to get us, and we don't want to ever go down that path again.
Well, I feel victim to it a little bit too, is you always think of the NCAA as a single entity when it's tons of people. It's not one person, you know, and even though, I mean, I can say it, even if you don't, you know, it looks like there's agendas and, you know, broken systems and all these different things, but there's a lot of different sections to the NCAA. There's a lot of different parts. So how do you kind of separate that when the overall viewpoint is one thing versus some of the individuals that you have to work with through the process?
Yeah, you know, what's sort of unusual about, you know, you say the word NCAA, but then you look at the Committee on Infractions, that's actually the membership.
Yeah.
So people that serve in my role or a president's role or a faculty athletic rep, they're the people on the COI. So when you say NCAA, what I'm meaning is staff, like the enforcement staff, the governance people, the people that decide on eligibility, you know, those are the people you need to have a dialogue with, because they can easily just shut you down and shut you out, and we don't need that. When it comes to the COI, that's a whole different world, and that's where I think we have to kind of regroup the enforcement process. I think having our peers judge other universities, I don't think that model works anymore. They're trying to change a few things, but there's no reason an athletic director at another school should rule on or judge another program. And so those are the kind of things that I hope we can try to get fixed.
Yeah, speaking of, given the NCAA's usual tone, how in the world did that guy head up a COI that was in Missouri over that one? Because, I mean, if he has those thoughts, it seems like it would be counterintuitive to what the NCAA typically
believes. He's a staff member at the University of Southern California who went through a major case. Again, back to sort of why are we letting our peers judge us when it should be maybe more of an independent body is something that we need to look at.
So just kind of in closing, advice to people, they're going to listen to these, they're going to be going to town halls as you continue this little bit of a tour. What's sort of your advice or the things that you would tell them when they come into the room?
I would just say, you know what, hopefully come with an open mind. Obviously, you know, we have a job to do, and that's to promote the university. We're going to talk about the positive aspects. We're going to try to be transparent in everything that we do, and just come with an open mind. And hopefully they walk out with at least some answers to their questions. They may not agree with me on everything, but I hope people see it for what it is, that we're trying to be at face value with everyone. We're asking people to come on board, and Ole Miss is a great place because people care, and that's what we want to see out of these things, is that people continue to care, they support the program, they may be frustrated, but at least we're able to have a dialogue with them as we move ahead.
And it's kind of no frills. You come in, you sit down, you ask questions. It's not Rebel Road Trip. It's a whole different environment. But as we've kind of mentioned after screwing that up the first time, there are going to be Rebel Road Trips. Right. You're gonna get that segment of the fan experience too.
Yeah, we'll have I think we have 11 spots selected in April for the Rebel Road Trip. And somebody walked in tonight at the town hall meeting, and they said, "Hey, where's the food and where's the drink?" And I said, "There is none. This is a business meeting. We're here just to talk." And so I think people really appreciated that. I think it was a great sort of twist on what our normal style is, and that's to be rah-rah. Hey, let's just talk business. Let's get it all out there, and we'll do the rah-rah stuff in April.
Let's close. I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
Thanks to Ross for joining me on the drive home last night. Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy there in Oxford on South Lamar. You can give them a call at 662-236-2222 to transfer your medication over. Again, it's very, very simple. You don't have to stick with the big chains. Get someone who cares about you in your hometown. We've been telling you about the compound creams because a couple different pharmacies around the state are closing and not doing it anymore, but G&M will. They do everything from erectile dysfunction to nausea and vomiting to different skin conditions as well. So just ask them about it. Again, that's 662-236-2222.
I've got to get some of this stuff on the same file. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. They have a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. They can set up any local business to deposit checks from their office and not have to worry about coming to the bank daily to make those deposits. Most likely, any business owner at another bank is now paying a monthly fee for their account. They're most assuredly not making 1% on their money. If you want to learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Guests such as Ross Bjork join us on the Patterson and Earhart hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law, specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak directly to one of the partners in the firm, and that's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys, and when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call at 662-526-1992 or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. You really want to experience the difference a quality sock makes. If you have a day like Chase had yesterday where you're out and about all day on your feet, you want dress socks that stay cool, stay comfortable, stay soft, and stay up. That's Dead Soxy. Go to deadsoxy.com, enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout, and you'll get 30% off all orders, including what's left, which is not very much, what's left of their Mississippi line. They're going to be coming up with some concepts that you're going to get as a REBELGROVE.com and Oxford Exxon podcast community member. You're going to get an opportunity to have some input into those socks, what they look like, the design, that type of thing. But right now they're moving all the old inventory out, which means savings for you. 30% off at deadsoxy.com. Just enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout.
Podcast is brought to you by Blow Dry Bar Oxford, 662-638-3310. The Blow Dry Bar at gmail.com, 1801 Jackson Avenue there in Oxford, 10 to 6, Tuesday to Friday. Saturday's 10 to 3. So with the baseball games this weekend, bring the whole family or maybe just buy a gift coming up. Still got 2 days before Valentine's Day. Gift certificate would make a good gift for that special lady in your life. So again, just give them a call, 662-638-3310. Mention Rebel Grove or the podcast, and you get a discount when you do so there on Jackson Avenue. Okay. Well, so let's see. I got to stop responding to people on the message board and leave it alone.
You do. You got to let it go.
I'm self-aware, so you got to let it go. Well, I mean, my issue with it is not any fans being angry or anything else. It's just I feel like we've covered it so many times. We're doing the same questions over and over and over and over again. And when you ask
because we have.
Yeah, when you ask the same questions 10 times and you get the same answers, like it's kind of what it's what the main point I agreed with Ross last night is you're never going to get the answer you want. I mean, Ross is going to give an answer, and at some point, you're either you're in or you're out. And that's not telling people to be in. I don't care what you do. But you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you either move on or you don't. And I think that was the deal is that...
It's my point is you either are willing to acknowledge that there's some nuance, that it's not black or white. It is shades of gray. And if you can't acknowledge that, it's okay. You don't have to. You're absolutely allowed to have the opinion that, nope, it's not satisfactory and I will not be happy until there's wholesale change. You're absolutely allowed to say, you know what, I get it. I understand how it happened. I'm ready to move on. And you're allowed to be in the middle. Which, ironically, it's funny. Most people are in the middle.
Well, of course.
It's just the difference of like the political discourse in our country where you are either a God bless a hardcore left winger or a hardcore right winger, and there is absolutely nobody in the middle of the field. Everybody is on one sideline or the other. This is different.
Yeah. I mean, Ross mentioned either maybe in the interview, I don't know, all this stuff's running together.
Sure.
He mentioned that, yeah, look, they'd love to fight and work toward NCAA legislation that changes the way they go about things to help fix things. They would be all about banding together with other ADs and different things and all those things. Yeah, sure. Great. They would. But, I mean, Ole Miss has a lot of issues right now. You got to get your own house in order. Ross can't spend his entire time worried about NCAA legislation. For Ross, this is over. So his best thing to do is to put his head down and work toward and for Ole Miss moving forward, period. Sure. That's it. If other things come about where they can latch on or they can even be a little bit of a leader in the process once this coalition is formed or whatever, or if there's more talk about autonomy or whatnot, great. That's great. But at the moment, it's got to be about fundraising. It's got to be about money. It's got to be about morale. And it's got to be about winning. And that's it. That is Ross's job moving forward from this minute. He doesn't have time or the ability to still worry about the NCAA from a primary focus right now. It's not the primary focus. He said last night, he was one of his quotes kind of at the end when he did sort of this closing statement. And I think he mentioned on the podcast again, he did, but I'm repeating it again. He said, you know, for Ole Miss at this point, it was kind of talking about Mississippi State and rivalries and different things, but it fits here too is, Ole Miss can't let Ole Miss beat Ole Miss right now. Do everything you can do within your own power and then kind of let everything else fall where it does at the moment. And I do think that's kind of where it is and at least what they're hopeful for out of these meetings because, like I said, I was critical of him and I thought he's getting up there and giving it a shot and there's something respectful about that.
I was critical too, but I'll give them credit for this. You can't say, hey, we want people to hear our side of it and then never really give them their side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm far more of a fire and brimstone vitriolic person probably than anyone in athletic administration. It would be difficult for me if I were in their shoes, and I'm never going to be in their shoes because I'm not meant for that field. But it would be difficult for me not to very publicly call out the NCAA, to call out Hugh Freeze, just to put it all out there, lay it out. That's the thing. The people that say I want to know our side of the story, I want to know what happened. If they really laid it out detail for detail, it still wouldn't satisfy some.
Well, because you get back to the common thing of, well, yeah, but you should have done this throughout the process. That's what we always come back to. And at this point, they didn't. So it's
the line in the sand where you mentioned scar tissue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's this massive wound on the body, and there's going to be a scar, and that's the scar. The scar is the complete disconnect and the complete willingness to talk about there are two sides to that. I see that. I've been critical of things. I thought they should have fought more at times. Certainly should have fought more publicly at times. I thought when Greg Sankey did the deal about, hey, let's have a meeting, I would have absolutely crushed that ball. Now, I don't know. The flip side, and this is where I'm going to give Bjork credit. It's easy for me to say that. I don't have to go to meetings and stuff where I have to be in the room with Greg Sankey and have conversations and be collegial. It's easy for me to go, oh, you stupid son of a bitch. Let me tell you about what you ought to talk about in that meeting. Would that make the fans happy? Absolutely. Now, is that going to make my job more difficult moving forward? Probably so. So it's easy for me to say that. You do have to have some form of diplomacy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's probably the biggest.
By the way, as of last week, that meeting hasn't happened. If you'd like a prediction from me about that meeting.
I asked Ross about it on the interview.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, I haven't heard the interview yet. That meeting's never happened.
He said there is no schedule for that meeting.
Yeah.
I asked if that meeting is happening, and he gave a noncommittal answer.
There's no meeting.
That was Ross did not say this. This is back in my own words. That was a propaganda moment for Greg Sankey, is what that was.
It was.
And like you say, that easily could have been turned back around on you at about 110 miles an hour, but either way.
Speaking of real quick, did you see the kid for Arkansas get hit in the throat yesterday by the what's the kid? The kid with the funny name who can really hit for Arkansas?
Oh, yeah, the freshman or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he hit a line drive back up the middle, and it hit the kid in the throat. It was really scary looking.
Really?
He's going to be okay. Really scary looking. Man, oh, man.
I'm getting off this topic. We're going to move on to vacated wins in a second. I will say that a little bit of still the last remaining disconnect, and maybe that's some on the media, maybe that's on Ross, maybe that's on the fans. I don't know who all it's on. It's, you know, we're still talking so heavily about exemplary cooperation. And a lot of that doesn't necessarily stay in the right avenue of what it is. The whole time, it was one mitigating factor involved with this. Ross would argue and has argued, but I don't know, I wasn't in the rooms. I'm just relaying here, that they did fight, that they thought
the NCAA didn't give them.
Yeah, that they, you know, like 14, they got some things removed. In his mind, again, don't know, whatever.
Right.
In his mind, they thread the line between, yeah, sure, we'll try to get that exemplary cooperation, and B, not running on the other side of not cooperating to the point that you get hit because you didn't cooperate. Because that's also an NCAA thing in this.
It was
a small token of the overall strategy. I think exemplary cooperation is a real fun phrase to say, and it's a buzzword. I don't think it was ever as big of a deal from a defense standpoint as, hey, we have to get this one mitigating factor, in my opinion. Just my opinion.
Well, and you also don't know at that point, what else do they have? You don't know who else they've talked to. What do they have? These are SEC football programs, boys and girls. Nobody's walking out with clean laundry at the end of these deals. These are different creatures. You don't know what they've got.
Oh, look, take Mississippi State out of this even. And now look, there's tons of this. But even in a smaller, I'm again not saying State's blameless, not where I'm going. Calm down, put the pitchfork down.
You are wearing a lot of maroon today. What is the deal?
Tons. There are, I have no maroon on. I have actually blue all over me, and I'm wearing that sponsors.
Looks maroon
and stuff.
To me.
Maroon
Delta hat.
Where was I going with this?
I don't know.
You get me all off my train of thought.
Is that a bell?
Oh, it's a cow in the corner. Crap. See what you did? Now I have no idea what I was saying.
You were talking about it's not it Mississippi State's.
Yeah, okay,
blame.
Sorry. There's two things here. That out of when I say Ole Miss, I mean the administration's control that is in their own house that, in my opinion, pushed this thing where it did. Now, this gave State the avenue to go crazy and to cause all sorts of conflict, in my opinion. One, being a coach on your staff allowing a text message to be on his phone, A.
Yeah.
I mean, my.
Yeah, come on.
This is recruiting cheating 101, guys. Yeah. Like, this is like when you walk into the introductory class and they go, hey, sharpen your pencils.
Yeah.
And then two, Lindsey Miller.
Yeah.
Laramie Tunsil and Lindsey Miller do not fight in the summer of 15, and Barney erases that text message. We're not having anywhere near this conversation right now at all.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess that's part of the nuance is that, yeah, all this other stuff is crazy and crap and all this stuff. But when you have this sitting over here on your side, well, you got to kind of worry about that boil first before you deal with some other stuff. And it creates you from, you know, why didn't you run the marathon? Well, I'm 40 pounds overweight because of this thing over here on the side of my hip. And that's kind of where this is. But anyway, I think I'm done now. I think I'm done talking about this. I've only said that 14 times in the past several months. But I think now that I've attended one of these things, we're probably finished. All the punishment's gone. I mean, as we kind of move on here, this last week sort of brought the final closure, if you will, between the last money stretch, which they lost another $8 million off the SEC revenue sharing program. I think they ended up getting 35 instead of 43 or something like that. So they lost another $8 million in bowl revenue. They'll get $8 million back in 2022-23 if they stay out of trouble with the NCAA.
Chase, put that away, man. Yeah. Come on. Stop. That is ridiculous. Yes. That is ridiculous.
They get $8 million back in 2022-2023 if they stay out of trouble.
Right.
And they're, you know, we mentioned Rainy Day Fund. That was a big deal. That was on that board last night. Sorry, I'm scatterbrained. I'm all over the place.
It's okay.
It's fine. Ole Miss got as high as 27-point-ish million.
27.7, I think.
Okay, whatever. It was in the story. 27-point-something million.
Easy for you to say, whatever.
In reserves in 2015.
Yeah.
They've had to go into those reserves to maintain their operating budget at full capacity to the point of now they're at $8.1 million, I believe, is the number. So they've dwindled a little around to $20 million off their rainy day fund over the last 2 years. Now they're back up to capacity now, so that should stretch back out. The operating budget should be fine from an SEC sharing standpoint. But they got to get through another 365 days before you get another one of those checks. I asked Ross Bjork, as you heard on the podcast, you know, how has this been prohibitive to you? And he said, well, a lot of small projects have kind of gotten pushed to the side because you had to worry about the money.
You can't do what you can't pay for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not monopoly money. They do have to get it and pay it. So that's part of this. But that's done now. Again, revenue sharing's done. They're back to full capacity. And then the making sure we're recording, that'd have been necessary.
That would have sucked.
Yeah. We'd have canceled today. I'm done.
Yeah.
Vacated wins. So let's go there now. I'm admitting this. I have a disconnect with a lot of the listeners because I just don't think it's a big deal. You could take away every New Orleans Saints win right now, and I'd go, okay, fine, have at it. It doesn't change anything. I don't care. And from a public standpoint, I don't think anything does change for Ole Miss because they don't have the bowl appearances in the stadium. So you're not having to change any banners or anything up in the stadium. They're in the Manning Center, but I think that would be considered private, not public, because they're in recruiting areas.
The only one they have to take down is the
BBVA Compass Bowl.
The Compass Bowl.
Well, hey.
Hey.
When you get a Compass Bowl trophy, you think when they send it, you think if they send it to Pitt would even take it? Hey, Pitt, you want this trophy?
Nah, we're good.
I asked that question last night. We kind of got a kick out of it. Said, where do these go? Like, do you send them to Indianapolis? And there's like a graveyard room somewhere where like all these bowl trophies are for. It's like where Reggie Bush's Heisman is, and you got
the
BBVA Compass Bowl.
When like Florida would beat a team, they'd take a piece of the side or whatever. Maybe this is like the for the compliance people when they get the investigative arm when they get scalps. Maybe they get scalps in the form of vacated trophies. Maybe they have like a trophy room of, we got that one. Look at us.
Yeah. No, in the NCAA, they'd like display all those bad boys and put them up.
Guardians of the game, baby.
So from a public standpoint, look, there's going to all the scores are still going to be in the media guide. There'll be some asterisks or something, whatever. Again, you all saw Miss beat Alabama in 14, whatever.
So did Katy Perry still happen, or does that not happen?
I think she still held a corn dog up, I think.
Okay.
Let me backtrack. 33 games over 7 years, but 6 seasons.
Okay.
The 2015 year is intact. All good.
Okay.
Sugar Bowl staying in the Manning Center. People got annoyed by that quote from Ross last night, but I found that quote the most relevant. People were concerned about the Sugar Bowl. Sugar Bowl trophies in the Manning Center. That was a relevant quote to me.
Yeah.
I thought that was fine.
I did too.
Somebody, nothing.
They want fire and vitriol. It is what it is. It's part of the process.
Yeah, let's start there. They were always going to have vacated wins. I reported 3 months ago that they were trying to be very creative with the math to save as many games as possible. Ole Miss had a pretty good plan there because this all came about. This is from 10, 11, and 12. Let me start there. Kind of like your greatest pod in the South. We'll start in a minute once I get all this out here. Where it's 10, 11, 12 full seasons. So four wins, 2 wins, 7 wins. 10, 11, 12.
Okay.
It's all the 13 games except for the Music City Bowl because Laramie didn't play in the Music City Bowl.
So they have to forfeit the – or
I think it's Laramie. Hell,
they have to vacate
Scott,
the two wins of 2011?
Yeah, those are gone.
Damn.
Yeah.
That season actually got worse.
Yeah.
You know when people say it can't get worse?
11 got worse.
How about that?
Can't take that Fresno game from us.
They celebrated that win like it was really special.
Was it Fresno?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was the 1AA team and then Fresno.
That was the one where Houston Nutt looked at me like, see, I won.
Yeah.
And now I can say, no, you didn't.
Yeah. So, it's 13, it's all of 14, other than the Presbyterian game, because Tunsil didn't play in the Presbyterian game. So, you still beat the Blue Hose. Blue Hose?
Yeah.
Okay. And then 15 safe, and then the 5 wins from 16.
Okay.
Yeah, 33 total. So I think Freeze on paper now has won 12 games, and I think Nuts goes from like 28 to 26 or 22 to 18 or some crap. I don't know.
I'm sure Hugh did not have rabbit ears last night.
You don't think so?
Probably not.
Sorry, I need a minute. I'm not going into the backstory of this right now. I'm not. Sorry.
Some phones blow up.
Do they?
Yeah.
Multiples.
Yeah.
I
think that's safe.
Yeah, so 33 games. And look, here's the deal. We're talking about Tunsil. We're talking about all the ACT kids from 10 to 12 and all that stuff. And, you know, like even this morning, I'm getting a lot of, well, you know, those kids didn't do anything. It's like, well, it's already decided now. So once that allegation is determined.
You pled guilty.
That is what it is. I mean, we can all go in a big circle here. But once we get done to this point, there were going to be vacated wins. And what Ole Miss did eventually, and I thought this was a pretty good plan, was they said, look, these kids would have been ineligible for this number of games had we just got called at the very beginning and these kids were deemed ineligible.
Okay.
So we're going to vacate those wins, the number of length of the suspensions would have been, and we're going to hand those to you and we're going to move on with our day. That was their goal in this. The NCAA, because they're idiots and like to puff out their chest on anything they can win at, is they said, well, here's your problem. Yeah, those kids were ineligible for those games, but you did not recertify their eligibility at the time. And Ole Miss comes back and goes, well, we didn't know they were ineligible at the time. And they go, well, you should have. So the NCAA is taking the entire seasons from them because Ole Miss did not recertify their eligibility in the middle of the season. That was the technicality they went with. So when you have this level of idiocy on one side, you're going to just lose the vacated games. And Ole Miss is not alone in this. Tons of teams get every game vacated. This is not some unique punishment toward Ole Miss whatsoever here, but it's
Louisville basketball.
Yeah, Baylor football. You know, they kept the Sugar Bowl trophy. They kept 15. I do think the atmosphere around this would be much worse had they lost that season too.
You know what a good troll tweet would be from Ole Miss today?
What?
Take the Sugar Bowl trophy and put it on a couch.
Take the photo. You would?
Yeah.
Still here
on a coach's couch.
You take the – that's pretty good.
Thanks.
Not the Music City Bowl, too.
They got to keep it, too, right?
Yeah.
I'd put it on –
no, they still beat Georgia Tech.
I would take it, like, to Freddie Roach's house and put it on a couch.
Would you?
I would. Absolutely. But I'm a jerk. And so I would do something like that because I just like to troll.
No kidding?
A little bit.
We'll continue this conversation.
But I'm with you. I get why fans are upset about it, but I mean, I do wonder what the reaction would have been had they lost the Sugar Bowl trophy. It would have been, they didn't. It's okay. You lost the BBVA Compass Bowl. Okay. But if you were there, you were there. I mean, you have the memory of it. You know it happened. You know what I mean? I mean, the Alabama game in 14, which was the craziest I've ever seen Vaught Hemingway, it happened. There is no real taking it away. It happened.
Yeah.
Katy Perry was in Funkies, and she was on the sideline, and the goalposts went all over Oxford, and all of those things happened. There's no taking it. There's no taking it away. You didn't lose. It's I don't know. To me, this is where the NCAA, again, is completely archaic in its rulings. It's 2019. They're vacating wins from 9 years ago. I mean, good God. But I just if I'm an Ole Miss fan, that's the least of my concerns today.
We'll continue that conversation in 1 minute. Tell you about Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com is the website. You go to the events page. See everything going on, including the annual Francis McEwen Library Show, still today on the 12th, 10 to 8 p.m. at the Oxford Lafayette Public Library. There's a Martin Luther King of celebration event tonight at 7:30 at the Ford Center. Also got plenty more options this week, including Bryn McLean at Thacker Mountain Radio at 6 o'clock on Thursday at Off Square Books. You got Valentine's Day dining, dancing, and silent auction at 6 p.m. at the Chancellor's House that night, and much, much more, including Young the John at the Lyric on the 14th Sorry, I'm getting tons of blown up about something. I'll take in a second. So anyway, okay. Visit OxfordMS.com/events. You also get all the contact info for hotels, restaurants, and more in Oxford.
Brought to you also by Home 2 Suites by Hilton. If you're coming to Oxford for any of those events, or if you're coming up for football season, you want a place to make your home base for the 2019 football season, Home 2 Suites Oxford is a perfect spot for you. 101 South Lamar Boulevard, just off the Old Taylor Road exit. It's about a mile from campus, about a mile from the square. It'd be a great, like I said, a great place. It's pet-friendly, brand new, a lot of whole lot of amenities that we'll tell you about as the weeks and months go along. 662-238-3400. Call that number. Get yourself set up for double-decker weekend for the 2019 football season. You'll be quite pleased to make that your home base. Home 2 Suites, Oxford. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. Excuse me, represents 24 clients in I'm sorry, 24 states, has clients in 24 states, advisors in 3 states. It's founded in 1997. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. It's pinntrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. I'll have my mailbag out at some point tomorrow. Can't promise that it's going to be first thing in the morning, but it'll be at some point tomorrow. It is sponsored by the Westin Jackson. Go to the Westin Jackson and check out Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight. And when you go to Estelle, you can order some Old Soul bourbon. Chase, their second release is going to be hitting the shelves this week. So you can grab that throughout the state. It's only 250 cases produced from Mississippi. So if you've been looking for that Old Soul bourbon and you couldn't find it, it's going to be out later this week. They're the sponsors of the Greatest Pod in the South, and we'll be taping that a little later in the week.
Podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Sign that contract now for 2019 before the weather warms up for good. You can get a free quote by giving them a call at 662-607-7773. Everything from standard maintenance to flower beds, building structures that you need, and more. MasterCuts take care of all of it. Been doing it for me for a long, long time. And they can help you again too. Again, 662-607-7773. It's getting blown up because some bad news for former State player Jeffrey Simmons appears to have torn his ACL during prep. So don't know how that potentially affects his draft status, as he's not invited to the combine, and now obviously pro day will not happen either if that is the ends up being the diagnosis.
Did you see the pictures of DK Metcalf yesterday? Were those real?
If so, he has become an even larger human.
A little too big, right?
The Senior Bowl guy thought so. He was worried that it would affect his flexibility on his upper half.
Man, I don't say you'd be that big and move.
He looks like an action figure.
Yeah, he looks like Rambo.
Is that it, Rambo?
Remember Rambo?
Of course.
He looks like a bigger, taller Rambo.
That's fair.
Looks like Ivan Drago.
Ooh.
But I don't know that Ivan Drago, as athletic as he was, could jump in the air and twist for a pass.
Where'd you end up putting Creed 2 in the canon?
Ooh, it's way up there.
Is it?
Yeah, it's way up there. It's really good.
It's not higher than Creed 1.
No, but it's a sequel.
We forgot to get Cassidy on and defend his Rocky list.
We can do that.
We can do that soon.
Absolutely. It's almost something.
Because he had 4 at the bottom.
Yeah, he had it way down.
He had it way down.
Way down. Those are fighting
words. He's looking at it from a critical point of view. He's trying to be movie critic.
Well, this is, I mean, look, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Creed 2, might want to skip a little bit.
3, 2, 1.
All right, now we're talking about Creed 2. Here's the thing about Creed 2 is that I think it's pretty clear that that's the end.
It was a goodbye.
And sometimes when you say goodbye like that, you've got to let the viewer know that all the people are okay. And it gets a little cheesy, but I walked out of the theater feeling good about it. I knew where everybody was. Everybody's okay.
It's all right.
Everybody's good.
Yeah.
And I can sort of get on with my life now.
Which I'm good with. I don't need some critical tearjerker at the end of movies, at the end of series, or anything else. It's all right for everybody just to kind of move on and be happy, especially TV series.
Yeah, I needed to know that Rocky was going
to
be okay.
You don't have to kill someone at the end of a TV series.
No. I needed to know that Rocky was going to be all right.
You know, I mean, Seinfeld's ending was pretty stupid.
But it was funny.
It went back to the first episode, same conversation, which was kind of the point. We're just all hanging out, talking, right. Whatever. It was clever. It was very, very clever. Well, and it pointed out, because I think a lot, you know, at least on the rewatch, I ask even a lot of my friends, and it baffles me because it's very evident the entire show that what makes it funny is that they're all jerks and there are no repercussions to any of their activities. That's what makes Seinfeld funny. Is that they have no regard for anyone else in the world.
No,
they don't.
No.
So then, like, at the end, like, so I'll have some buddies who are just kind of watching Seinfeld now, like, on Hulu or Netflix or whatever, and they'll go, well, you know, it's really unfair there at the end. They finally got their comeuppance. It's like, well, that was the whole point, was that they've spent seasons of just neglecting everyone else in society.
Yes, treating everyone.
They screwed over everyone else they know. They were not good people. And I don't know. That was whatever. I mean, yeah, you know, look, Rachel gets off the plane. Well, duh. I mean, it's the ending of Friends. They're going to do that. So, spoiler alert for all the millennials that are just now watching it. But I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I got off topic. Yeah, that closes the vacated wins thing. I mean, I don't. Whatever.
It's like The Office. The Office ended perfectly. You knew everybody
yeah,
was.
I haven't watched the.
But you knew everybody was okay. It's what you wanted. So I had no problem with Creed 2. So yesterday was the anniversary of the Buster Douglas Mike Tyson fight.
Was it? There's a segment that really wants Ross to go after the NCAA at this point. Like, try to become a freedom fighter for change. And I get it. I just don't. Again, I think there's only so much time in the day, and that it's Ole Miss.
I mean, I think there's a.
Once it's over and they're no longer kind of on your radar.
Yeah.
It's.
I think there is. I'll tell you what, there is a place for Ross somewhere down the road.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is a place for a. I mean, I'm gonna be self serving here. The 2-hour podcast where he really lets them have it. Where he, without going vitriolic, but explains where their process is wrong. Where it doesn't work. I mean, I do think you can become an advocate for change.
Well, when you didn't hear it, his main gripe in the podcast, in the interview I did with him, was that he said in the COI was broken because there's no way that ADs and members of other schools should be punishing other schools.
Right.
That creates the problem.
Yeah, I have a disadvantage here. Yeah. I haven't heard the interview yet.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll hear it later in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you can do that, but right now he's got other stuff to do.
Yeah, got an athletic department to fix.
I mean, he's got stuff to get done. Let's face it. I mean, he's got to be doing a good job because at some point here in the next, I don't know, 24 months or less, he's going to have a new boss. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to, anybody's ever been in that situation, you want to be doing good work. You want your house in order when the new guy or girl comes in and says, so tell me about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Well, we're doing this, 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 and this. It can't be, well, you know what? I'm still fighting this battle from 2014. As much as that would make a few people happy, I don't know that that's, when you're running a multi-million dollar corporation, I don't know that that's the way to go.
Yeah. His job is to get more money back into the program, whatever that takes.
Yeah.
You don't want your reserve at $8 million.
No, you'd like to get that puppy back up.
Yeah.
Need to look, here's bottom line. You got to do everything you can to help Matt Luke win.
Because that fixes it all.
You got to do everything you can to help Matt Luke win. You've got to do everything you can to help the people that are responsible for selling tickets sell tickets. You've got to do everything you can to sell suites. You've got to do everything you can to get donors happy, to give donors making money, I mean, giving money. And then you got to do everything you can to help Matt Luke win. Yeah. And if Matt Luke doesn't win, and at some point you've got to figure out why he's not winning and help him win, or you've got to move on from Matt Luke. But I don't think they're anywhere close to move. I'm curious, did that come up? The whole, is there a litmus test? There's this thing in the fan base right now that I catch myself pushing back on, and I don't really know why I do it, because I don't think it's fair, I guess. This, he has to win X games or else. That
no,
come up?
No.
Not good.
No, nothing.
I don't think Matt Luke goes into 2019 on anything resembling a
hot
seat.
The coordinator hires killed any possibility of that being
the
case.
I don't – for the people that go, how many wins does he have to have? None? I don't think that's it. He's got to keep putting enthusiasm in his program. He's got to have more days like the one he just had last Wednesday.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wrap there. Again, another podcast tomorrow, as always. Baseball media today. We'll throw the rotation, the lineup, and whatever else out from that. And then there is the story if you haven't seen it. So, anyway. All that stuff, and more as the week goes on here at rebelgrove.com and the podcast. Talk to you on Wednesday.